Steve Cochran Show, Radio 720, WGN, Matt Bubala filling in the entertainment report, sponsored by the Captain James A. Lovell Federal Health Care Center, our very own Uncle Dean Richards.
I love that you still say Radio 720. That's old school.
Wait a minute. Do we not say that anymore?
We haven't said that in about 10 years. But you can't. I'm not criticizing
it. True?
It's just like old school. You know,
we don't say that. You're right.
You know, Spike's not on anymore either, right?
Well, you know what, Dino? We just had the WGN TV Morning News on in here, and I saw the sports report guy with his old Channel 9 coat, and I went back in time.
That's right. We have Skip Parker filling in for Pat Thomasula. Skip has been the third string sportscaster here for 38 years.
Ma, poor guy.
Waiting for an opportunity to fill in. I'm not criticizing.
Radio 720. That's simple. That's what we are. We're on 720. I like it.
Yeah, I think we've changed it about like seven times since then.
Everything old is new again, Dino.
You gotta keep up with the man. Do you read emails? You know, we have email now. I don't think we had emails from the first time you were here.
I can't get logged into that stuff. I really have trouble with that. Marlene just brings me down slips of paper.
Computers now and everything.
Yes.
It's a modern place. Here on Radio 720.
Tina, when I first started here and I'd come into your office in the back, I'd be sitting there on a reel-to-reel tape machine editing stuff back in the day.
That's right.
It's Radio 720. We're going to get the bird on the commercial.
Matt used to push me over because I was usually drunk and, push me out of the way.
That's not true.
Little razor blade.
I don't remember you ever being drunk.
Editing.
I thought it was something else. Dino, what's going on in the world of entertainment?
You know what? I constantly think of you with the Star Wars stuff because I remember what a crazy fanatic.
I was a crazy fanatic.
Yeah, you still are, though, right?
I am. So, I mean, that second set of three movies kind of dampered things a little bit.
Right.
But
How many times have you seen The Force Awakens?
I've only seen it once, opening night.
What?
Here's the thing, Dean. I've been looking to get back when we have time. And there's a theater by us that's the reserve stadium seating,
right,
which is just the greatest thing. I know it costs more, but it's so nice not to go and then get there a little bit too close to showtime and get stuck with the terrible
crummy seat, right.
But so I've been looking back at that theater, and you can't get into a 2D screening of the thing without sitting in the front row, even today and tomorrow.
Yeah, things are pretty – they've been sold out for a pretty long time. Reserve seating is great, and I was when I was covering – the Thursday night, the night before the official opening, people had been waiting in line. In some cases, people had been waiting in line for days, and I said, you don't really have to do this anymore. You know, much like Radio 720, it's something that really is from the past that you don't really have to do anymore.
Wait, what do we say now? So when I come back...
720 WGN.
Just 720?
Yeah.
You think people will get it?
Say whatever you want to.
They'll know. See, I'm looking at the mic flag right here. Says Radio 720 WGN.
It's the week between Christmas and New Year's. Pretty clearly, anything goes.
Hey, you're still working, buddy.
I know.
I'll let you know, Dino, that you're the only regular morning show crew member around here, and I'll call you a crew member still because you're on every day with Mr. Cochran.
That's right.
You're the only one that's working. So what does that say about you?
That means that my job is so important that I couldn't be away.
Means you must have burned a lot of days off this year, I think, is what it means.
I like working the week between Christmas and New Year's. Nobody's around.
You can get away with more stuff.
No bosses coming around. I don't have any pants on right now.
Oh, that's so different than the regular weekdays.
You can't get away with that during on a regular week.
I'm sure Mrs. Baumgarten, who's there at work today, I saw, is really enjoying seeing you pantsless all day long.
I don't think she's ever really noticed when I sit at the desk.
Yeah, well, that's an issue you have, Dino.
So the Star Wars.
Yes, the Star Wars.
The Star Wars.
Making some money.
It broke the $1 billion mark over the weekend. Significant in that it did it in 12 days. The previous record holder hitting a $1 billion mark was Jurassic World. It took 13 days for that film to do it. So it's now become the fastest growing film of all time to hit the $1 billion mark. Took in on another $153 million just over the holiday weekend. So its domestic the total now is somewhere in the $300-400 million range. Something like that, but with global sales, it hits the $1 billion mark and is on track to easily eclipse Avatar as the biggest selling motion picture of all time. That's $2.8 billion. After that, it's Titanic with something like 2.4, I think. In Jurassic World, a measly 1.8 million total, a billion total. So it's on track to, you know, break every record that there could possibly be.
And this Star Wars movie hasn't even opened in China yet, which has started to become a pretty lucrative market, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's going to be insane, you know, with the dollars. So as a super fan, I gave it an A+. I'm still giddy about it. I just talked to Robin Baumgarten. She just saw it over the weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was kind of worried. You know, she and I don't always agree on movies, but she came back and loved it. Her kids loved it. I'm recommending this also for kids. I don't think there's anything wrong.
I agree. It's a PG-13, and I guess maybe the original Star Wars would have been a PG-13 had that rating been around in 77. I don't know, but there's no language issues. There's no nudity issues. It's just, you know, Star Wars type violence. Cartoon, there's lightsabers and blasters.
Cartoon violence. I call it cartoon violence. There's a lot of death, but it's not like a slasher movie or, you know, where people are being disemboweled or anything like that. I have a little 8-year-old twin nephews. They're excited about going to see it this week. And how interesting that, you know, these 8-year-olds are just as excited as the 8-year-old, you know, in you.
Yeah.
So excited to see it. How multi-generational this film is.
It really is. And I think they did just a great job of introducing new characters, weaving in the old characters. And I think that's to me, the big thing between this film and the second set of the trilogy that George Lucas did is that you love all these new characters. They really, you know, they introduce a new droid and you're thinking, this new droid is going to be a weird marketing ploy to sell toys. You fell in love with that stupid little thing. Yes.
So adorable. BB-8, so adorable. The new characters are strong. They're charismatic. You can't wait to see what they're going to do in the next film.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think they set up this next film beautifully. So I can't wait now for number 8, and it's going to be out in 2017.
I agree. And, Dino, the other thing I think that sets this apart from other Star Wars movies is the incredibly strong female character that truly leads this film. And I have a 10-year-old daughter who went to this, you know, I have 10-year-old triplets, 2 boys and a girl, and they like Star Wars. The daughter had seen Star Wars, didn't really care that much. She was fine with going to it. She walked out loving this movie.
I can imagine how empowering it must be to little girls.
And she was saying that. She was like, it's so good to see a girl kicking butt like that. And she was so jazzed up, and now she's got a Rey poster over her bed that Santa brought her.
That's
so
awesome.
I mean, it's really, I think, bringing in a whole new generation, but also of girls and boys, more so than maybe the movies in the past. So, Dino, we're talking about, it's made a billion in 12 days, all these things. And it's interesting because those numbers are so distorted because now we have 3D, we have the ridiculous price of a regular ticket, we have IMAX and all these other ways that they, you know, are raising the revenues much quicker than ever before. So I looked up, I found a website that was listing ticket sales, actual ticket sales in the U.S., top ticket sales of all time. So how many actual tickets were bought to a movie?
Right.
And I think this will have, it's going to be the all-time king as far as box office.
Adjusting for inflation.
If you adjust it for inflation or just look by actual ticket sales, I don't know that it'll even crack the top 5.
Interesting.
In the end.
Is Gone with the Wind still
Gone with the Wind, according to this website. I don't know how good this website is, but according to this, 225 million tickets sold to Gone with the Wind, which came out originally in 1939. Avatar comes in at number 24 on this list with 78 million tickets sold.
Right.
And if you think about it, Avatar was 6 years ago. The ticket prices have gone up even more since then, right?
Right.
So I wonder if Star Wars would even, I mean, think about it. If Star Wars had sold 50 million tickets, that would get it to its 500 million here in the U.S., right, at best, because that's at $10 a ticket. And there's some matinees and stuff, but the 3D tickets, the IMAX tickets.
Makes all the difference.
Yeah, so it's...
Where's Porky's on that list?
Hold on. Give me a second.
People ask me all the time my favorite movie...
Is Porky's?
I can't decide if it's Porky's 1, 2, or 3.
I'll tell you what, when I was a kid, Porky's was something for a young boy to see.
It was something to behold. That's very true. A couple of other quick stories in the buzz this morning. Sad news, Meadowlark Lemon has died.
Yeah.
Probably the most famous of the Harlem Globetrotters, 83 years old, died at his home in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Hold on, Dean. This is legitimate. I have to break in. It's at number 212 on the all-time domestic list. Porky sold 36.7 million tickets. It was released in 1982.
Yeah, I think at least a million of that may have been my own money. But
it's tied with There's Something About Mary, and I think that
really
fits. Yes,
really. That's very interesting. Very interesting. Meadowlark Lemon, of course, from the Globetrotters, from all the variety shows through the years that those guys appeared on, the made-for-TV Gilligan's Island movie, their own Saturday morning cartoon show. Truly one of the greats. I had the honor of interviewing him several times through the years when the Globetrotters have been in town. Could not have been a nicer gentlemen, nothing but respect. So rest in peace, Meadowlark. And Richard Marx got married over the weekend. He married former MTV VJ Daisy Fuentes.
Get out of here.
Yeah, how about that?
Well, that's a blast from the 80s past right there.
It is a blast. I can't even imagine what the hair budget must be in that household now.
Now, I apologize, but I didn't realize Richard Marx, because who was he previously married to? It was...
I don't remember her name, but she was...
Wasn't she in Dirty Dancing?
She was an actress.
Cindy Rhodes, I believe.
Cindy Rhodes, yeah. Cindy, that's exactly right.
She was in Animotion.
They were married for 25 years, and they just broke up last year.
How sad.
So, always
and yet happy.
Always that. Sad when something like that happens, but wish those crazy kids nothing but the best. Also, this is the Bobby Christina Brown story was just one of the most terrible stories in the entertainment world that we reported on during 2015, and it just got weirder over the weekend. Nick Gordon, who was her love interest. He was the guy that she lived with. She was the guy when she was discovered unconscious in the bathtub. Many people are pointing the finger at him. There's still an investigation, wrongful death lawsuit from Bobby Christina's estate. So over the weekend, Nick Gordon takes a photograph of them together from a Whitney Houston tribute from 2012. There's a picture of them all, you know, cozy in a picture. This is his dead girlfriend. He takes the picture and he photoshops Santa Claus hats on both of them and sends it out as his Christmas card. Just seems so weird and disrespectful. Seems to me that I don't know. I don't know if that's an appropriate thing to do with somebody, you know, the love of your life who dies under these extremely questionable circumstances for which you are a prime suspect.
Yeah.
And then you're sending out a Photoshop Christmas card with Holly Jolly Christmas hats on both of you.
Yeah, I don't think you ever take a tragic death and make it look festive.
No.
I think that's the general rule.
I didn't think the story could get any weirder, but it certainly did from over the weekend.
Wow.
And you heard it exclusively here on Radio 720.
Yes, from the pantsless Dean Richards over at WGN Television.
Right.
Glad I'm not over there today.
It's a little chilly. Who knew the weather was going to turn like this?
Dino, we'll evolve, and tomorrow we'll be...
I'll tell you what piece of clothing I'm not wearing tomorrow.
I don't know what to call it. 720 WGN. It's weird not to say radio. Doggone it, Dean, it's radio. We're in the Tribune Tower. It had a whole building built for the radio.
Are you whippersnappers?
Radio 720 WGN. All right, Dino. Well, thank you very much for checking in. I guess we'll talk to a pantsless Dean Richards tomorrow morning.
Sounds good. See you
tomorrow. Thank you, Dino.